On today's Denial of the Day, we have the owner of three companies, all in emergency restoration. His name is Rico Leone. He does fires, floods, roofing, and PDR. And something that we might get into, he'll have to lead that charge, but this man's going to be on national TV, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm getting used to the idea. We've already finished one episode. I can't really talk about too much. I can kind of maybe talk about the premise,
okay,
but I can't like about the name of it or anything like that. We're shooting our second episode June 1st, which is exciting because it is a lot about what you and I kind of go through. It is about the good, bad, and the ugly in construction and what happens when and what you do when you get screwed over. So
right.
It is in the same kind of ecosystem that we're in already. So
great. Why don't we get to that? Kind of save the really juicy stuff for the end,
for
because
sure.
I want these people to really listen in and get the best of what we got going on. So, you know, in a few sentences, just tell me, like, who is Rico Leone and what do you stand for? What do you do? What is, like, tell me about your life.
Well, since I was like 19, turning 20, I got into emergency restoration young, and I worked for Roto-Rooter out in Pittsburgh. I've been in the game for a long time. I was shoveling the sewage, the gelatinous sewage day one, and then I just kind of moved up in the ranks quickly. It was horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, but, sounds horrible.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Like, if you could work every single day for a couple years in this industry, out east, out in Pittsburgh, you grow thick skin, you learn a lot. And so I started there about 5 years ago. I came out to Denver. Actually, I didn't come to Denver. My vehicle broke down here about 5 years ago. I was going to work in L.A., do an L.A. thing, and just never
made
it.
Wait a second. So you were actually driving to L.A.? And your vehicle broke down in Denver?
Yeah, I was like, you know, Denver wasn't even on my top 15. It wasn't even in my radar. I was like,
wow.
You know what? I don't smoke weed and I don't ski, so this wasn't the place for me. And
the only two things we do in Colorado.
Yeah, exactly. It's misconception, but you know what? It's
right?
I fell in love with Colorado, and then I started looking for work and what I knew, which is emergency restoration. And that was the moment where I realized I felt like an adult amongst children. You know what I mean? I feel like for the so many years I did this in Pittsburgh, I came here and everyone here is so green, like on everything, just on how they bring in the business, what they do and all kind of stuff. And then I started I worked for other companies, made them millions. They never paid me. So, you know, story of everyone's life, getting screwed out of money, whatever.
Yeah, well, that seems so common in the restoration industry. And I don't know why. I mean, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I know exactly why. It's because a lot of companies, they don't know how to manage money. So if your money management is bad, then at some point for the viability of the company, you have to fire people or screw people over to keep the lights
tough.
On. It's
sure.
It's some companies, they have too much overhead. So like
sure.
I've worked for corporate, I've worked for small mom and pop, and I've worked for large mom and pop. And I took all the good, bad, and the ugly, and I learned a lot from all of them. But the biggest issue, biggest mistake that a lot of people do is they have too much overhead. They spend too much money, and then when the books are really tight, and you let go of the people that work hard for you. And when you let go of people that work hard for you, you screw them. You kind of just, you know, screw them over, and you get to the point where you just keep getting screwed over, or you start your own business and go all out and just, you know, do everything in-house, you know what I mean? Just do it the way that you want it to be done, which is what I did, you know. And I did it in every industry, so.
And we'll get to that here in a second. What I really want to hear from you, just a real quick synopsis, because I don't want to get too deep into it, but say you're looking to get into the restoration industry, or say you are in the restoration industry, roofing, restoration, you know, hail, wind, fire, smoke, whatever it might be, water mitigation, and you don't want to get screwed out of the money that somebody owes you. Is there a way to protect yourself? What did you learn from that lesson?
You know what? Depends on the state that you live in, because there's laws in Denver that protect and also not protect you. And there's rules in other states. So it really depends on what state you're in, because I'm in a lot of groups where the guy's like, hey, my boss just let me go. He owes me $15,000. and what do I do next?
Sure.
Well, a lot of the times, do you want to spend $15,000 on lawyers to collect $15,000? Like, it's kind of brutal. The answer is a little bit brutal. Like, it
Yeah.
depends. Like, if you're in an ownership with somebody and it's a contractual agreement, yes, go after them if they try to do something like that to you.
Yeah,
But if
absolutely.
you're an employee or even a 1099 contractor, it's very hard to enforce getting paid on certain things. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I sold that job, but it took 6 months to get paid, but they fired me in 5 months. So a company in their contract, it'll state that they have to you have to be employed by them when they collect to legally have that money. So what a lot of companies do, like for me, they had me sell millions of dollars, and before I could collect, because in construction it's months out before commissions come
Sure.
in,
Yeah.
before you collect, they could let me go and keep all that money legally. So really, what you want to do if you ever want to start a business, I think it's expensive trial and error. So if you work for a company,
Absolutely.
work hard, learn the people, meet the people, have those people love you, just build your pipeline, build connections. And everyone's a professional liar in our industry. They're like, I'm the best, trust me, da 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 da. Like, it's very difficult to find who's good and who's bad. So I tell a lot of people, like, you're gonna get fucked over. It's gonna happen. I hope it doesn't happen. Sometimes there's a lot of owners out there that do the right thing and take care of their people, and those are beautiful people, and I hope there's more of them in the future. But in this
Yeah.
industry, it's so brutal. People
For
justify
sure.
not paying you. They just, in their brain, they're like, hey, I gotta feed my kid. Fuck you. Like, I'm sorry, but I gotta keep the lights on. And they justify it in their head, whether it's right or wrong.
Totally, I
So
do.
if anyone's trying to get into this industry, learn. Learn from the companies that you work for, 60K a year, 70K a year, 50K, whatever you're getting paid. Learn, 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 learn. And then before you jump ship, all those mistakes that those guys made and all the things that they did right, you take that with you. Then you can start your, and it's hard work. It's hard work. I remember I had to make decisions between rent and truck payment. Like,
Yeah.
when I left the, and I didn't have a consistent salary. There were those times where I just had to make a decision. It is what it is, but I knew I could never work for a human being again. I could never work for another. It was in my, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So, if you're that type of person that just kills a game, and you've already proven yourself that you could kill it, learn the industry, save some money, learn about marketing, keep some of those connections. Like, if you look me up, I have nothing but phenomenal reviews, because when I started my
True.
business, I met all the estimators. I met all the people in contents. I met all the GCs. I met all the plumbers, the electricians. I met all those people, and I knew who was good and who was bad. So when I started it off, I had like kind of a little mini dream team, which
Yeah.
helped me grow so quickly. But I would always tell people, like, do your time. It's better to do trial and error on another company and learn from them than starting your own company and doing trial and error for the first time. And
For sure.
it might not be your fault, but one of your contractors steals money, and now you have to pay 15K out of pocket. Do you have 15K? And if you don't, are you okay with getting a one-star review at the beginning of your business? It's a hard thing to
Right.
overcome, making those decisions that are like to make your reputation look good, keeping that reputation, and maybe losing on jobs. To keep that
Right.
reputation, which is, it's all, none of it's easy. None of it's easy. You just have to kind of keep trucking along. But going back to your question, it's determined on the state, determined on the contract. But, it is what it is in this industry. Like, it's very
Totally.
hard to, what you're going to sue. Okay, cool. Do you have money for a lawyer? You need the money that they've screwed you out of. You need that money to sue them. They're
Yeah,
going to screw
and
you.
or move on to the next job.
You got, yeah, it's, I tell people all the time, like, I have friends of mine, they got screwed over out of like 200K. It's a hard pill to swallow. Hard
Yeah.
pill to swallow. But they had that chip on their shoulder for like years. Three
Right.
years. Oh, Tony screwed me over. Oh, I made him millions and da da da. But think of this 2.5 years of him crying and bitching, where he could have refocused, said, fuck it, refocus and go hard. And
Right.
bring in more work and have a positive outcome. Like it's I get it. You know, people have been screwed out of I've been screwed out of millions of dollars. Millions. So it's not easy because it's taking food out of your kid's mouth. So of course you're gonna take it personal. But honestly, you just have to like, you know, suck it up. Like suck it up, move forward, do it for another business, find out do it for yourself, like save money on the next whatever. Just you gotta keep going. Like you don't have a choice. You gotta keep going, or you could cry about it for a long time and go nowhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that feedback, and it sounds like you learned some lessons that these people in our audience can actually apply, because there's a lot of different types of people that listen to this podcast. And so ultimately, thank you for the information. Now, what I want to ask you is, what types of business? You got your hands in a lot of different stuff. Tell me what they are and why you decided to go into that field.
Yeah, so I own and co-own more than three businesses. But you know, I'm in construction and new construction. I'm in obviously in emergency restorations, fires, floods, mold, asbestos, water. I started a paintless dent repair company. Same reason. I have a lot of insurance agents that refer me a lot of work, and they brought me in a lot of cars because I knew a lot of PDR companies. But you know how it is, man. Like I was feeding these guys hundreds of cars. And then they paid me here, then here, then here, then here. And it just got to the point where I was like, okay, well, now I'm gonna take the money I'm making and I'm gonna start my own PDR company. But you know,
For
I have
sure.
a realty company that I'm a part of as well. You know, I stay in my lane. I'm a very good like marketer. I'm good with relationships, and I'm insanely what I like to think is good at delegating. So I have an amazing team. I delegate. I don't mess with their money, like pay your people, you know? And but it's all like, you know, real estate, commercial, construction, roofing, you know, it's kind of the same ecosystem really, but
For sure.
I do own a lot of stuff. I'm, you know, getting into cybersecurity and commercial real estate as well. So, you know, I expand. I like to have more than one source of income. So
Smart. What's your favorite?
I would have to say my favorite. I do love PDR. Real estate's fun. Emergency restoration, because it's people think about money. Everything I do is a headache to income ratio. Like, how much of a headache is this gonna be in my life compared to how much money? Like, when I was day one, I took on every job, good, bad,
Sure.
ugly. I took underinsured. I still made it somehow work. Like, I made that stuff work. Now, since I've been doing this so many years, I really pick and choose my clients, my customers. And you know, there's like painless dent repair is a phenomenal business, good profit margins, and those mistakes, they're easy to fix. Oh, I'm
Sure.
so sorry, something happened. That's $1,200 out of my pocket. Easy fix. Like if you mess up on a commercial fire job, that could be a $150,000 mistake.
Right.
That's a
Big
harder check to
dollars.
write. That's a harder check to write.
For
So you got
sure.
to be very meticulous on how you spend your money, all kind of stuff, to make sure everything goes kosher. But in PDR, it's like customers are happy, the job's done quick, good profit margins. You know, like it's just you could incentivize people. It's fun for me to do that. I just, you know, I just made my reputation in emergency restoration. I got a million reviews, and a lot of people know me in it, and I've been on the news multiple times for different fires, so it's kind of my niche.
Yeah, buddy, and you've done really well in that. So I
Thanks.
applaud you for that, man. So part of our show is talking about the most absurd or hilarious denials, right? So the podcast is called The Denial of the Day, and I talk a lot about that on my LinkedIn feed by doing the videos that I've done for so long. I want to hear, because you've been in this industry for so long, and I want to hear maybe a couple different ones, right? So I want to keep this to like a minimum as far as time goes, because people usually tune in for about half an hour. But
Sure.
ultimately, like, give me some of the goods. What have you been experiencing recently or in the past that you can discuss here? Obviously, we don't want to get into too detailed, but
Right.
give us the gist.
I won't mention insurance companies or adjusters' names, but I'll just say, because there's
Perfect.
some out there that are phenomenal, right? There's
Right,
one
that's
or two
true.
adjusters out there per state maybe that are pretty amazing. Right. So
Right.
I'm learning, right? The insurance company, like you say often, they're a business. You know, they love your money every month, but when it comes to handling a claim, They don't just write beautiful checks and get everything done right away. It's an extensive process. And every year, I'm seeing more consistently that they're coming up with new and new ways to deny or delay or whatever. Back in the day, they would just say no, you'd say yes, then they want references, then they'd okay. It's like you fought a couple battles, but then they eventually were like, okay, let's go sometimes. Now, just even recently, like I have a customer who has phenomenal coverage. They have a historic home, so we have to go through landmark. Permitting wasn't fun, but he had like 24 months of AOE. Like it was all great code coverage, all that. It was great. But we're dealing with our fifth adjuster. Yeah, two of them retired, and now we're on our fifth adjuster. And the thing is, too, and by the way, and I changed my work authorization. I changed the language. I have lawyers on my emails now because think of all the time spent when they go, oh, we handed off to this guy's on vacation for the third time this year, or he handed off to another adjuster, and then the adjuster's like, hey, I don't have any information, so resend me everything. Oh, let me think about this. Like it just they just added 2 months, but then after 2 months, then there's a then that guy retires. Okay, now we have another adjuster. Is that adjuster cool? Are we here? Okay, what's his phone number? Oh, he's not in town. Supervisor. Like it gets you get angry. You get angry. And
Don't you
every
think that's
time,
partly by design, though? Like the insurance companies
100%.
want you to give
It's
up, right?
100% by design because it's more than one company. It's more than one insurance company doing the same thing. It's company A, B, and C. All every single adjuster on the planet is retiring and/or handing it off 5 times per claim.
Or going on vacation at the exact same time.
So it is by design, 100% by design, 100%. Actually, when you go on vacation, show me a picture of you on the jet ski. Show me a picture of you on the jet ski, and I'll credit you $5,000 right fucking now. You know what I mean? Like, it's lies, right? So, but I've gotten better. So now I know these things. So now when I first meet an adjuster, first start a claim, I send out an email. It's kind of like a not a demand email, but it's a statement stating due to like it's like lawyer talk, but just say to the acknowledgement of the customer, that customer would like for you to let us know before you plan to go on any vacations and or retire and or hand this claim off to another adjuster, that you'll let us know ahead of time, and that you will guarantee that adjuster has all the information that the contractor has given to you. Therefore, no delays happen. I have all these statements that of
Nice.
all the things that they do. I know it's like, please, oh, if you do plan on bringing in a contractor that is not chosen by the homeowner and not vetted by the homeowner, please let us know 72 hours ahead of time with the reason for you to bring that, and by the way, that person has to be comparable to the contractor that we hired. Contractor we hired has 150 reviews, 5-star, da 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 da. Has the licenses. All that. We want to see all of that before you allow that contractor to put an estimate to compare to the contractor that I chose. Because in 2007, they passed
Awesome.
a law that you could choose any contractor that you want to do the work. That
Contractor of
law was
choice.
passed because insurance companies brought in Builder Bob Joe that did it for $40,000 instead of $240,000. And then the quality suffered. Why else would they make a law about it? So now I know it's you have to be preemptive. I'm going to assume there's going to be three adjusters on every claim. So now I'm just trying to save the customer stress, time, save my time. Time is expensive. You know what I mean? Like if they delay 3 months, I have to pay everyone 3 months longer for the same job. So it's like you got to get smart. You got to have your contracts in place. You got to let the customer know these are the things that you will encounter. You're going to encounter
Definitely.
these things. Like it's good, bad, and the ugly. You know what I mean? Just be honest with them. And all the ways that companies try to delay the process, if you nip it in the butt in the first email to the request of the homeowner, we would like to know boom, 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 with explanation of boom, 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 boom. Please, by the way, hit reply all on the email thread. Hit reply all on the email thread with the homeowner so then there's no miscommunications, because an adjuster could be super nice. We'll take good care of you, Mr. and Mrs. Jones. And then that same adjuster will get behind the computer, deny, nope, hate you, fuck off. Like, what? No justification. No justification. So
Right.
you gotta be on top of your shit now. Like, you
For
have to be.
sure.
You gotta be
Yeah.
smart. So
So
now it's like,
you're discussing exactly what the next phase of the denial of the day is. It's like, what did you learn? And it sounds like you've learned so much from
style.
the runaround, right? And so we as public adjusters, that's what we deal with too, is they try to do this, they try to do that, they try to do this, they try to do that. So it sounds like you have found some really good templates that you use because of the terrible experiences with adjusters, and now you're able to really put that into practice in your business and get you better results. Are you seeing just like reduced time? Are you seeing increased payouts when they try to d diminish your payouts? What's happening on the insurance claim
It's not
side?
an increased payout, but they always want you to justify things, but once you justify things, they still say no. So why did you have us justify things?
Right.
So it's these weird little things where, we also have to put them accountable. Like, hey, you need to justify why you're not paying. The homeowner
Exactly.
wants to
And they have a
know.
requirement to do that.
Yeah, the homeowner wants to know. By the way, they could tell me to fuck off, but they can't tell their customer to fuck off. By
Right.
the request of the homeowner, you need to justify why you're denying these things in a full explanation, and then we need to agree upon that. So, like, I did create templates, and it saves time because 3 months, 4 months, I mean, this is a stressful situation for homeowners. Their
For
house is burned
sure.
down, they lost everything. Like, the only time they're happy is once the house is completely built, but that could be in a year, year and a half. Like, permitting in Denver could be months and months. Used to be a week and a half. Like,
Right.
engineers and architects, it used to take them, 2 weeks to get everything in order and turned in. Now it's taking them months. And the draw, like the draws from the mortgage company, from the insurance to the mortgage company, and the mortgage company to us. It's delay. There's more than one person delaying things here. So
Right.
you have to just be insanely communicative and have a process that you enforce. It's because what happens is in all companies, someone assumes somebody else is doing the thing,
Right.
and that's how things get lost in
Nobody's doing it.
translation. Yet no
Right.
one's doing it. They're like, oh, Bob should be doing it. No, Grace is doing it. Actually, Matt should be doing it. Brad is actually like, it happens always, but
Right.
you have to have a dead set process where it's like,
Yeah.
you get the information, I want it now. Grace is going to turn it in, prove that she turned it in. Next.
Well, and you don't want to be the reason that it's being delayed any further, right? And if you can try to take that slack out, is what I call it, take the slack out of the claim. So real quick before we move on to the next question and kind of your experiences, or if you have another denial of the day, that'd be awesome. I want to talk about the 4 Ds, right? The 4 Ds, what the insurance company tries to play, right? So they either diminish your claim, meaning they underpay it, they delay your claim, like what you're talking about, they deny the claim outright, and they force you to defend their bad behavior in court by sending it to an attorney, right? And so that's what we deal with. I mean, you deal with it all the time. We deal with it as public insurance adjusters all the time. The question is, right, how do we overcome that? And I have my answers, but I want to hear from your perspective. Like, what do you think, like, maybe the top 3 things that you do to overcome delaying, diminishing, denying, or defending? What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? I go about every single job like it's gonna go legal. A lot of them go insanely smooth, no issues. Not all claims are huge, but the bigger claims, it's a battle. Grab your shield, grab your sword. That money that it's not gonna they're not gonna just hand it over to you. So one is over inform the homeowner. Let them know the good, bad, and the ugly, all of it, and then. Be teams with them. Say, hey, you know what? There's times where they're gonna never speak to me, ignore me, take weeks to get back to me. But there's times where if you call them, if you ask for their supervisor, if you say, hey, I want this back within a couple days, you could help this process go quicker. So it's like it's being a team with the homeowner. Make sure that you guys are on the same side for a final outcome. Also, that first like demand letter. Where it's like, hey, we already know your tricks. So, to the request of the homeowner, please
Right.
hit reply all. If you hit reply all, he can't be a dick. He or she can't be a dick to us. They have
Right.
the homeowner's watching. Mom and dad are watching. You know what I mean? So, like, there's everyone finds a tactic on how to delay, defend, whatever. We have to be preemptive, and we have to do that by communicating with the homeowner. Could let the
Right.
homeowner know this is what's gonna happen. This is okay, cool. If we work together, it could go a lot smoother. I've tagged you in on because we can't speak policy. You can. So like
Right.
we know it. We know our shit, but we cannot. They're like, are you a licensed public adjuster? And I'm like, nope. I gotta tag you in. You know what I mean?
Right.
It takes sometimes it takes a village, but you know, a lot of homeowners, and I'm in the industry and it's recession proof. You know, when the economy's good or bad, the money's there, whatever. But I hate it internally. It hurts me to see people go through this where it could be so much
Yeah.
smoother and better, but it's like it's all intentional and I hate it.
Intentional, 100%.
Like I tell adjusters, would you do this to your parents? Would you do this to your parents? If this was
Yeah.
your parents' house, is this what how you would treat them? Like, would you, okay, if it's an $800,000 job, you're gonna release 100K? Like, why are you doing this? Like, why?
Right.
It's horrible to see. And again, not all adjusters are like this, but I'm gonna tell you right now, the adjusters that care about the client and write the good checks and are very communicative, and all, those people don't have jobs very long. They don't have
Right.
jobs very long. They lose their jobs quickly. Hey, Linda approved way too much in the last 10 claims.
Yeah.
Either fired or different position.
Do
You
you know what
know
they call that? Do you know what they
what I
call
mean?
that in the industry? They call it leakage.
Leakage,
Think
yeah.
about that. Too much
It's
leakage. So Linda, I need to call you into the office here and tell you about your leakage because it's too excessive and you can't work here anymore because you're paying claims too fairly.
Yeah.
What? That doesn't make
It's
sense.
I see it, dude. And I have customers of mine that has forced place policies.
Yeah.
I
Tough.
consult more than I could do anything else because those are the worst situations. And I had a customer that was so happy with our work. She referred her friend who just had a water claim, all kind of stuff. Same thing, like insanely underinsured, had a contractor steal money in the first time, all this kind of stuff, didn't have the money to do this, like they wanted upgrades, you know, we were explaining change orders, out of pocket stuff. And it's interesting because they're like, well, why wasn't the claim process the same? I was like,
Right.
the adjuster and the company that you were with is phenomenal. She wrote a check, we just she wrote another check. We got that product done in less than 3 months.
Nice
In and
work.
out, like, and I'm talking about that was a lot
Yeah.
of work. And I was like, you know, feeling good. And then over here, same size job, nothing crazy. It's the coverage was but that adjuster was nowhere to be seen. He wrote checks for like $10. You know what I mean? Like it was just we nothing that we could
Made it
work with,
difficult.
and it was a bad claims experience. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? So it's like it really depends on, and it's worse when customers don't speak English well. If it's
Sure.
like Asian or Spanish speaking customers that don't speak like very good English, they're taken advantage of the most. The
For sure.
most. They
I see
go, oh
that.
yeah, this is how it's supposed to be. And I see it all the time. I speak Spanish fluently, and a lot of my crew does as well. And I can speak insurance fluently, but it's I see it so often where I'm just
Right.
like lawyer. I tell the customer, lawyer up. They're going to grossly underpay this claim. They were agreeable on the walk, and denied everything the second they got to the office. Like it's just not going to be a good claims experience. And sometimes, you know, the customers are mad at the contractor, and it's like, you know, I can't go $150,000 on every project to just get it done on 50 projects.
Right.
So,
That's
you know.
it's tough to do. Well, brother, if you had to put everything in a nutshell as far as what you have learned from that experience, right? Because you and I can only really do so much. We can't overcome bad policies, right? So say somebody has a really good policy in place and you get involved. Like, what are the maybe one or two things that you would say, like, here are the lessons from my experience in the restoration industry, working with insurance companies and insureds that somebody in our audience would need or want to know?
Well, you know what? Know which battles you're getting into. If I could go back in time, there's a couple policies that were that I couldn't do that I couldn't work with. You know,
Sure.
so then I would have rather consulted them than taking on the job and losing money, bad experience, all that kind of stuff. So going, like reading the declaration page and explaining to the homeowner everything on that deck page about asbestos, about coverages, about code upgrade, about their structural dwelling coverage, their ALE, the good, bad, and the like. Some people think their contents coverage does is one thing, like it only covers their contents, but it also covers the amount of money it takes to clean and all that kind of stuff. So like it says 300K, 200K, but it's used fairly quickly. Just explaining to them the good, bad, and the ugly, and then the position that they're in according to your experience, like that helps a lot. And then always communicate through like email, because a lot of phone conversations happen. They're like, "Well, I thought you said this, and you promised me that." Anytime you have a conversation with a client, an adjuster, whomever, because adjusters always say something and then do the complete opposite, almost all the time. So once you have a conversation with her, whether it's with the homeowner or the adjuster, you send an email to everyone. "Hey, thanks so much for the conversation today. While my mind is fresh, I wanted to just go over this. These are the reasons that there could be some delays, yada, 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 yada." Because if I could go back in time, I would just do everything I'm doing now, which is be very, very preemptive, keep the communication up, making sure that if you're bringing in work and you have GCs, that every single check you give them, you make them sign a conditional lien waiver. You know what I mean? I've had contractors I've given $150,000 to, and they use it over there. They use it on a different project. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy. It's not, it's customers, it's clients. You got to be smart. That's all. It's just, you have to be smart. You have to make sure you make a process. Because when you're day one, you're thinking about what? Hunting. Hunting and eating
Totally.
everything. I just need food. I just need food. I'm hunting. I'm not worried about organizing my paychecks and my P&Ls and anything like that. But guess what? All that stuff you have to just keep track of, and those are those things that people screw up on. Those are very costly mistakes. Very costly. So I think
Definitely.
just over communication, explaining to homeowners their process. I don't come from a place of desperation. I like to just let the customer know good, bad, ugly. They say, "Oh, can I bring a guy that does this? Can I do this?" And I say, yes, no. Make your decision, do your due diligence. But when you go with me, just know, like, I came here to play. Like, I know the game. I came here to do this. There's going to be times it's going to be stressful. We have to work together. You know what I mean? Because a lot more claims have gone to legal now than ever in my experience before. It's almost like all, half of them are going legal, which is insane, you know? And
Yeah,
it's
it is
horrible too.
insane.
Like, you know, it's not a, I see that what the customers have to go through is not fun. Like, I think I've done hundreds of projects, like just under my company and companies. And I would say, like, through that hardship, I would say maybe 8, 9 families wife and husband got divorced through
Wow.
the process. Like it's
Sure.
just so much stress, you know what I mean?
It is.
So I
Well,
just hate seeing that.
you bring up a really good point, and I think we've talked about it, just touched on it previously, but the insurance company wants you to give up, because when
Oh.
you give up, you lay like leave so much money on the table. It's ridiculous. And that's the thing, is they want you to give up because it helps them. And just like you're saying, it's so stressful. And I think it's intentional, like we had discussed, and it's by design where it is difficult, and you have to keep asking the same question over and over and over again. You and I, we do really good work, but there are certain things that we can't overcome. And sometimes it does have to go legal, unfortunately, right? And I would tell you probably between 5 to 7% of our claims right now are in the legal status, but you're right. We build every one of our claim files, like it's going to go legal, because you just don't know which way it's going to go. So before we wrap this up, I want to ask you, is there a single question that I should have asked you that I haven't that we'd like to discuss?
Oh no, you got it pretty good there. You covered your
Okay.
bases on that one. With the whole denial of the day thing, man, it's beautiful, because I think the more and more contractors you interview and the more and more homeowners that you interview, like I have a couple of homeowners of mine, good, bad, and the ugly, and I'm going to interview them too, because I want people to hear from the horse's mouth. And people
Sure.
go, "Hey, Rico, the insurance companies are going to go after you if they see that you're saying what you're saying." And I'm like, what have they done to me that they haven't, what can they do to me that they already haven't done?
Right.
They've already made my life the worst it could be. They've already
Yeah,
done
it's
everything
hell.
that they could do to put me through hell. And by the way, they're attacking me, but really the homeowner suffers. It's not me.
That's right.
It's the
That's
homeowner
right.
that they're making suffer because
Yeah.
of, and I had fights. I had an adjuster tell me, don't fuck with me. I'm going to make this a horrible process for you. And by the way, he's like, because like that's what he said to me. He
Yeah.
said that to me. And I was like, this person doesn't understand. If the homeowner heard that, why? Why are you going to make this difficult? What did I
Right.
do? What did I do? What did it? I'm not charging $8 million to do this house. I'm justifying every dollar. So I don't understand what you're
Sure.
talking about. But they get
Right.
there. I don't know. You know, I caught him on a bad day or something like that. I was just like, but the thing is, people do say like, oh, Rico, you should worry because you're gonna have a target on your back. I'm like, that target's been there since I've existed,
Right.
since I've been in the industry, since I got my first
Yeah.
claim. So I got nothing. It's not that I have nothing to lose, but it's like I've tripled prepared myself to be better. It's like when you go to war so many times, you get smart. You get smart.
Right.
You get, oh, we lost that battle. This is how we go to go about it. Like, and then eventually you start winning your wars. You start winning them all.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you're
Well,
strategizing.
previously you had said, get your shield and get your sword, right? And the Bellator logo right here, right? That's what it
Oh.
is. It's a shield, right? And it's a sword
Oh.
going through the
Love
middle.
that.
And
Yeah.
Bellator in Latin is warrior or the war, and we have to prepare for that. You and I are
Yeah.
in such an interesting space because people don't really understand what we do, and they don't understand the battles that we fight on behalf of our clients. Those clients don't even know the battles that we've actually have been fighting for them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
Yep.
even better that they don't. Like I tell them sometimes, like, hey, we're like the CIA. If you know about us, we're not really doing our job all that well, right? I
Right.
want to do everything we possibly can without having to involve you and the emotions and all the stuff that's going to be dragging you down because it is. It's sometimes really difficult. So before we wrap up, I know I said that previously. There is
Yeah.
one thing I want to ask you about.
Yeah.
Can you talk about your TV show? Let us know. I'm not going to say anything because I don't know what is able to be said or not, but tell us, you're gonna be on national TV. That's super
Yeah.
exciting, by the way.
It's
Congratulations.
national and it's gonna be on a couple streaming networks as well, so it'll be
Wow.
international as well and in a few different languages, so that's kind of cool. But the premise of the show is, when homeowners, when they get screwed over by bad contractors, you know what I mean? Like the contractor takes $50,000, spends $5,000 on the project, and then asks for more money. And then when they ask for more money and the homeowner is like, you need to do more work, then they go, you're not going to pay me. They put a lien on the house. Who helps that homeowner? You know what I mean? And
Right.
does the homeowner
That's
have
tough.
$15,000 and for lawyers and stuff like that? So the premise of the show is when contractors do that or insurance companies do that, they call me. I come out with my team who's insanely experienced, and we help that customer either confront that contractor and say, hey, you have to prove this. Where'd the money go? And we give a chance to the contractor to make up for what they did. And if they don't and they run, then I take the project over, I make the house awesome, and it's a good outcome. But I'm not really trying to be like to catch a predator or anything like that, where it's like I'm just gunning everybody down, cutting heads off. As much as I love to do that, I do want to help contractors. I want
Right.
contractors to be better. It's not just that I'm the best and, screw, like we all make mistakes, but I want
Right.
all that knowledge and trial and error that I've done, like contracts, what to have in a contract, how to protect yourself from the homeowner being shady. Like there's, it's not always the contractor being bad. Sometimes the homeowners take advantage and think that the money is theirs. You know what I mean? So it's this weird concept, but part of the show is I do help people, but I also like to help the contractors be better. Like everyone's always like the contractor's the bad guy. They're not always bad people, but they do make very expensive mistakes, and it's if they man up and take care of them, or do they run
Right.
away and blame it on the homeowner? So, I just want to make people better. I hope the show does really well. We signed 8 episodes, but it's mostly because I want homeowners to be smarter. And
Sure.
I want the contractors to be better too. So it's like,
Definitely.
do some good on both sides.
That's
That's
incredible.
much I can say about it.
Congratulations. What's
Yeah,
that?
as much as I can say about it though, because now since it's a show, because we did the pilot, when it's the pilot, I could be like, this is the show. And now since it's real, now it's contracts and blah, 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 and I could only say so much. But that's definitely the premise of it.
Wow, man. Congratulations. That's a
Yeah,
huge
thank you.
deal. I've seen you come up and I'm so proud of you. This is
Yeah, thank you.
amazing, brother.
Yeah,
It's
you knew me day
amazing.
one. You knew me. I think you knew me, baby, day one, I think.
Yeah, four, I think it was 4-ish years ago. And we met, I think, because I was
Wow.
doing the Denial of the Day videos on LinkedIn, right?
Oh my God.
So,
Yeah.
dude, incredible. So I'm gonna sign off like this. I want to just thank Rico for being with us today, sharing and imparting all sorts of wisdom. I appreciate you for being here. Any last parting words?
Dude, I appreciate you having me on. It's an honor being the first guest for sure. And
Yeah.
you're a beast too, my man. Don't forget.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you. Let's give it up for Rico Leo.
Good. I like
Thank you, my
that.
brother. Thank you, my brother.
See you, my dude.